favourite film is awful.
Hello, and welcome to Your Favourite Film is Awful, the weekly show where we take your favourite films and defend them against negative reviews. As always, I am Luke MJ Powell, and with me is Charlie Lilly. Say hello, Charlie.
How are you doing, guys?
And Sean Grimsley. Hello, Sean.
Hello.
How are you both? You both well?
Getting by.
Yep. Good stuff. So, if you've seen the title, today we're doing the 2021 Nobody. I know this is a visual, well, it's a visual and a audio medium, but how about you guys do rock, paper, scissors to find out who's doing the plot today?
Oh, a little Rochambeau.
Okay, I see, okay.
Rochambeau.
Right.
Best of three, or?
No, one. One and
best,
done.
One. Best of best one. One. Okay. You ready?
Rock, paper, scissors. Rock, paper, scissors. Rock, paper, scissors.
Somebody stop being rock. You can't both three times in a row.
Should we flip a coin?
Yeah. No, we can do it. Go on. Ready?
Right. Rock, paper, scissors.
Hey! Charlie, I feel like you nominated yourself there.
I'm going to be doing this all day.
Being the rock. Jesus. Continue. Right. What's the plot?
So the plot of Nobody is essentially a, what would you say, a guy played by Bob Odenkirk, who's, you know, your normal average Joe, family of two kids, a nuclear family, and he gets a bit fed up one day and decides to protect this lady on a bus, by beating up some goons, and which means it turns out they're Russians. They're Russian gangsters.
Those pesky Russians.
Now he's in trouble with these Russian gangsters. But don't worry, ladies and gentlemen, because this man might have a bit of a, you know,
a dark past himself.
Yeah.
Mm.
So there you go.
Splendid as always.
Literally stuttered all the way through that. But.
No, it's the glazed look in your eyes. You just forget the entire film as soon as you're asked.
Yeah, as soon as you put it at the point.
Give the plot.
Like,
yeah,
it is beautiful. Okay, so our first review comes from Jacob G. It's a half star. This isn't just garbage. This is hot, steamy garbage. I've seen a lot of action movies, and this is by far the worst. The acting is bad. Everything is bad. Save your money. Burning a 20 with a lighter is a better use of money.
I mean, 20 American dollars is at least, like, what is that, £17 in England?
It is.
I wouldn't throw £17 down the drain instead of watching this movie. I'd pay £17 to watch this movie again.
100%. Again?
Again!
Oh!
Again.
I actually did. I saw it on the Monday, and I went and saw it again on the Tuesday.
Correct, sir.
Correct, how it should be done.
In your classic multi-viewing way of life.
Yes, I do think it's weird that this person thinks that the action's shit. Because for me, it's first of all, it's 90 minutes, so it's very difficult to hate this movie. It flies by, and it's just non-stop fun from start to finish. It doesn't really take a moment to slow down in that sense, I feel like, personally.
I feel like maybe the opening is a little slower
than a lot of people would want.
But I don't think it's any less slow than the opening of John Wick. I feel like that moves equally as quickly.
I agree.
And, you know, it does something quite cool at the beginning, which I really liked, which is that montage. Like, it just drops you into that montage of his life.
Mm.
And it's bold, because it really could not... there's a chance that that could get really monotonous and not work. But I think they did a really good job of, like, reading from the page of... I don't know if you guys have seen the TV show called The Leftovers.
Yes, I've seen a couple of episodes.
But there's an episode in season two which opens with an incredibly long montage. And it's it's just ridiculously good at what you think you've seen montage
done to death,
and then you find a fresh way.
Okay.
And I feel like this is the best way I've seen it done since that episode, and it felt almost like a little nod to anybody that has watched The Leftovers to go, I've lifted this.
What would you think about Parasite, the montage in Parasite?
Oh, that's true, actually. Yeah.
I thought that was very good.
That was also very good, yeah.
That was very good. I need to watch that Leftovers
thing. Oh, man, you need to watch the Leftovers. It's really good. But I can at least appreciate the pacing at the front potentially taking a little bit too long for someone to get into this.
Yeah.
But for me, once that payoff of, like, once he makes that switch and decides to do something about it, it is non-stop and it's really fun.
Definitely. And I think that's why I kind of disagree with the fact that I guess it is the slowest at the start, but how slow that start is so quick compared to other openings to other movies. To me, like you said, it's a montage. They just cut to, I feel like in other films, we might have spent a bit more time with each of those scenes. Instead, they're like, nah, they'll get the point. We put it all in a montage that he's, stuck in his kind of, daily rut. Loop, yeah, ruts, yes, if you will, the grind, the rat race, if you will. But he, I thought it was interesting because this was something they actually added later. Originally, it was going to start with the burglary.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But they wanted to add that in, which I like because I think it adds to his character more. And I think as we go into this, I think it deals a bit more with sort of masculinity and stuff, I think, as we go further into it. But yeah, that I think is really interesting. But yeah, no, I wouldn't say boring at all. Like Sean said, as soon as it gets going, as soon as the reveal happens of, okay, who this guy is. And also what I liked about it, I don't know about what you guys thought, from the trailer, it felt like it was going to be, I guess spoilers ahead, everyone knows that anyway. I thought it was going to be, he gets burgled. It's the kind of, but then I guess, yeah, that is John Wick otherwise, isn't
it? Yeah, if he snaps because of the burglary,
yep.
Then, I mean, it is still, even though it can't escape it, it's written by the same guy that wrote John Wick, it's still John Wick. Like,
yes,
the structure, the plotting, it's almost identical.
The humour,
the
lighting.
I rewatched the trailer today for anticipation of this because I watched the film a couple of days ago. In one of the lines in that trailer is literally like, your contractors know of your, that you've become reactivated and they're going to get in touch, which is such like a John Wick movie.
Definitely.
Line of, oh, we know you're killing people again, time to come back into the fold.
Yep.
Which, if this does get sequels, I can imagine that that's going to be the kind of thing that occurs. It'll be like, oh, he's rehired and he has to do missions sort of thing, or he doesn't want to, and so people send auditor, is that what he's called?
Yeah.
So somebody sends an auditor to Bob. I don't remember the character's name at all.
Harold? Nobody.
He's nobody.
Henry? No, that's his actual name.
No, but I think that's the point. No, that's the point. I think they've chosen something so I can't remember
it. No, I can't remember it. No, nobody.
None of us can remember it. That's the point.
Yeah.
Hutch. His name is Hutch. It's literally in the next review.
I wouldn't have, but it wasn't even on the tip
of
my brain.
No. It's such a strange. Okay, next review. This is slightly longer. This is an extract from Chuck Bowens. It's a 1.5 out of 4. So, it's nicer, but it's a critic review, so it's still quite nasty.
What scale is he using?
Yeah. What?
Well, no, it's one of those that professional critics use out of fours. It's out of 4, not out of 5. Have you not noticed this?
No.
Yeah. Oh,
you spend a lot more time in the reviews than us, so
if they're superior knowledge. If it's for newspapers or for an actual critic, they do it out of 4 for some reason.
That
I don't know
so
why.
That is so weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's so strange.
Yeah.
Oh, curious.
Yeah. Anyway, this is 2 paragraphs, so I'll pause in the middle so we can have thoughts, and then I'll continue. Oh, God. What's the name of the director? Nyshula? Are we going with this pronunciation?
I don't know how to pronounce it.
I don't know if it's a Russian.
Okay, we're going with Nyshula.
Name.
Go with Ilya.
Ilya. First name's Ilya.
I would, but that would be taking away from the reviewer who used the last name to spite me. Otherwise, Nyshula offers chaos by the yard with no real stakes or emotional reverberations as Hutch goes against a standard issue Russian gangster called Yubin. In a particularly lame reveal, most everyone important at Hutch's life already knows of his violent past, save for his marginalized children And so his killing spree is divorced of shock value. Everything that happens in this film is so dutifully easy and tossed off, as Hutch has no memorable interpersonal conflicts. There's not even, say, the disputable yet resonant implication that Hutch's return to warfare has invigorated his sex life, an idea that even The Incredibles, theoretically a children's film, bothered to broach. That's paragraph one.
Can I jump in there, or
you can. That's okay. Why I've paused.
this is me jumping in. All right, so I'm going to say something quite controversial here, right? I don't really like John Wick 2 and or 3. And the reason is exactly for all of the reasons that review highlighted, is that this film is really self-aware, and as a result, is fun. Like, it's not bothering to try and reinvent the wheel. It's going, these are all my genre influences. Mm. This is the kind of stuff I grew up watching. Can we still make those kind of things today? Mm. But it has a self-awareness where it's kind of like, we're doing something fresh and fun with it, and we're taking the action to some, like, really violent but also inventive levels. But it's not trying to reinvent the wheel in any way. And so by kind of like, I remember I was, the first time I watched this film, I was sat there thinking, God, I really wish they developed the relationship with the wife more, rather than she was just that character that needed to be saved or rescued or just not be in it. She kind of almost is characterless for the majority of the film. But by the time you get to the end of it, you're like, well, that's not what this film was about. And you can absolutely guarantee, you can absolutely guarantee that there's going to be a sequel. I'm pretty sure they announced it yesterday.
Okay.
And I feel like that's the kind of thing that they'll flesh out more, because I think it is just trying to say, these are the films of my childhood. Let's just have fun with it. Mm-hmm. And it's the reason why I really like John Wick 1, because it's super self-aware and super fun, just like this one, where it's kind of like establishing the world but not exploring it fully, and doing just enough for you to say, oh, John Wick's wife has died of cancer, he's pissed. Or in this one, you know, like, you literally broke into this man's house and threatened his children. Like,
well, I think it's more the you stole the kitty cat bracelet.
Which, again, is so ridiculous that you kind of be like, if you can't suspend your disbelief to know that the filmmakers know that that's ridiculous, then I think that's where the problem starts. And it's why I don't like the John Wick sequels as much, because it starts to take itself a little bit more seriously within that world. And for me, that kind of wacky aspect of it kind of fizzles out.
Yeah.
So interesting. I agree with you with the second one, but I think the third one doesn't take itself as seriously.
It doesn't, no. The third one is better than the
second yes,
one.
I do understand that.
I think there are moments in the third one, but continue your point.
Yeah, I don't know about the relationship thing, because I quite like the dynamic with him and his wife. I thought it was a very interesting. I think it was handled quite well in terms of, it was quite obvious from the start that their relationship was not right, and that wasn't really done with any dialogue or anything. I went to see my dad, and even my dad turned to me and was like, they're not doing too good. Like before he had that scene where he's like, we haven't touched in months or whatever. Yeah. And I liked that aspect of it. I kind of liked that it didn't seem as black and white to me that things were going to go back to normal at the end either. Like, Joe, when she leaves, he's like, I just need to trust me one more time. Like, I kind of still felt, I know they have that scene towards the end where, but I still feel like that relationship is quite interesting. I'm quite compelled by it, and like you said, I think it'd be something interesting to explore more in the sequels. But yeah, I guess, you know, there isn't as many character moments as this person might have liked, but I do think that it gives you enough little beats, like with the daughter when she comes and lays and sits with him the night of the robbery, and she's like, oh, you'll protect me, and the way the son. The relationship with the son and the dad I thought was interesting, in that, you know, he kind of doesn't think his dad's cool. He thinks he's a bit of a lame-o, doesn't he? And then, you know, he has that revelation of, you know, what I like about this character is that he kind of carries himself the way sort of a martial artist would carry themselves, in the sense that they're not walking around telling everyone, oh, I could bash everyone up sort of thing, or do these sort of things. He's someone that you would least expect. Someone you'd least expect to be able to do these things, like in the old Kung Fu movies, like in the Jackie Chan movies, you know, where the smaller guy is the guy that's going to, even the Bruce Lee movies, the smaller guy is going to, the person you expect the least is the person to worry about the most. And I think that's what I liked about this. It kind of went back to that a little bit. I think that's what separates it from John Wick and the others, is that, you know, Keanu Reeves is Keanu Reeves, you know, you still think he's going to kick some ass, but Bob Odenkirk, you know, he just looks like an every man dad, doesn't he? But I think that's what was I liked about it. And I like that he carried himself like that, and he, even out of not looking cool, if that makes sense, despite, I can't find the right wording, but like, even, like, he could look cool in front of his son by going like, oh, I know, I actually did all the stuff and you can do a project on me, but like, no, he just buries it. He knows it's not clever, it's not cool. And I think that's even reflected even further with the neighbors when he's like, oh, look, if they would have come into my house, it'd been some good exercise, like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's like this, I thought there was a truth to that, do you know what I mean? Like, there's a masculinity issue there, and I thought it was very interesting in that everyone knows someone like that neighbor, but really they're never really the type of person, as my man Jay-Z says, you know, loud as a motorbike,
wouldn't break a grape,
wouldn't bust a grape in a fruit fight. So, and I think that's what sums up. Whereas, you know, he keeps himself collected, calm, and he means business underneath it all. I thought that was very interesting.
It's an interesting choice to have him not do, like, break at the break-in. It creates an interesting dynamic whereby, when he finally does break, that they really have to deliver on the punches. Because if it's not there, what else is going to happen?
Yeah.
Because what you get a sense of by delaying it is he's very aware of the consequence. You can see in that montage that he hates living his life like this, and he's living a lie. But you get a sense that he's doing it for some greater purpose. And I don't even think this film fully explores that. You know, it's like what you said. It's like they're going to do the John Wick thing of like, oh, we heard you're killing again. Come back into... And they hint at it as well when he goes to... is it the barber shop?
The barber.
The barber. Yes. Yeah, and it's like, they've got this... It's like when John Wick goes to Continental, you get just enough where you're like, oh, I really want to explore that. But that's what the sequels are for.
What's interesting, because they're supposed to be doing the Continental TV show.
They are.
So I wonder if they will merge. It feels like they're going to.
I mean...
Nobody in John Wick.
It's not beneath Colstead.
Yeah, no,
like,
no.
And I like him as well. Yeah, like, this is the thing. I've listened to many interviews with him, and there's a really good one, the Q&A with Jeff Goldsmith that he's on. And he just talks about like how he's just a kid living in this big... like box where like play box where people are just letting him do whatever he wants with the toys. And because he didn't get career success, I think he was 41 when John Wick hit, and that was like the first thing he'd ever really like managed to get produced. He's still just like totally enamored with the idea that this is actually his life and he gets to do this, and you just kind of be like, have fun, just because I'm still having fun.
I went from watching what you're making. Yeah, like 100%. I agree with that whole... I like that he held off and waited for the bus moment. It kind of had that aspect of he knew... Like you said, the lie is better than the reality. Even though he gets that thrill from it, the lie... He has to keep this lie going, his life, that is his life, because he knows the consequences are going to affect his family and affect everything. But I like that his decision... The reason why he gets in trouble is ultimately out of a decision that he doesn't need to make, but he wants to make it because there's something in him, that aspect, that very primal aspect of, you know, what he did before, he misses that. There's a part of him that's still there that he's been burying, and he's seen that. I just thought that was a really interesting way to do it, almost in a kind of Fight Club sense. Do you know what I mean? In terms of how it deals with masculinity, in terms of it's seen more as a way to relieve tension than like punching someone or getting into a fight than it is kind of I get act of hate in a weird way. If
well,
that
it's
makes sense,
it's that classic thing. I think this is where I initially had that issue with the wife character. It's like she's almost it's such a male focused narrative.
Yeah.
Of the man has to do something to become himself. Like he's hiding something. Mm. You know, in other narratives, you see that as the man's having the affair, or you know, the man has a secret life, whatever it may be. Mm. And there's this almost like built-in expectation that the woman has to just accept it. That the man has to go on this journey. Mm. And I think that's a trope that is tired, but I don't think that this film is so unaware of that, that it's not going to expand upon her character in the future. But for sticking to a tight 90 and trying to be like a proper throwback picture, I think it's fully successful in just... I think it's allowed to do that because it's so fun.
Exactly, it is so fun. And you know, they said they didn't like the villain. But I thought the villain was perfect for the character of Nobody. He's someone else that you don't expect to be as ruthless as what he is. And I think I like that as like the flip side to him. I also thought what I thought was cool was the first time we introduced to him in that one long sort of reference to the Coca Cabana take where he's you know, he drunkenly swerves the car around and then, you know, gets out the car all in the one take and it goes in and you think, what's he going to do? He's going to shoot people up. No, he goes up and sings karaoke. I thought that was brilliant. And then after that, you're like, who's this guy? And then, you know, you see that the big other Russian dude looking at him and that he has to try and prove himself and he smacks him with that glass. And I just thought that was, that whole sequence I thought was a great way of establishing who this guy is. In pretty much one shot.
But also establishing the rules of this universe, you know, as seriously as... Like, there's some pretty heavy, brutal violence in this film, but all the way through, it's the kind of violence where you are enjoying it because it's wacky, it's goofy.
It's cathartic,
isn't it? In its construct. Mm. So you are able to just be like, this is really pulpy and really fun.
No, 100%. I like to sort of think of it as like Looney Tunes violence. Do you know what I mean? It's like, Illusions is fucking violent when you really think about it.
Oh, yeah.
If you put blood in, which they should probably have with certain things, you know, you'd be like, oh. But like, it's fun. Like, there's a fun, like, even like the Three Stooges, for example. Like, do you know what I mean? It's that same kind of humour, or like, not humour, but like, playfulness with the violence. The same as like, that's how I, you know, and I think it's something that Sam Raimi understood with the Evil Dead movies when it comes to Evil Dead 2, where he made the Three Stooges essentially, but as a horror movie with blood splattering over the walls, you know? And I thought that was great. And I think that this kind of violence, along with like say something like maybe Kill Bill, maybe, where like they take the violence, it's fun. The sound effects are over the top. They're not supposed to be grounded in some sort of realism this per se. Yeah, and I just, yeah, I think it's an absolute blast. I'm shocked that this person could be bored by it.
For me, it's a real shame. I feel like this is the kind of movie, much like John Wick, where I can just put it on again and again and again and have fun. You know, like whoever, if ITV2 buys the rights and plays it as many times as the Bourne movies, I will watch it a lot. Yes. Because if it's on, it will stay on.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Let's continue with the review then. After Nobody's programmatic first act, which may leave you longing to watch Better Call Saul and Odenkirk's thorny performance as Saul Goodman, a truly piercing dramatization of frustration and failure, Hutch is reduced to just another unkillable killer, which is far more ordinary of the cinema than a 9-to-5 clock puncher with an authentic sense of soul. And that's the end of the extract.
I would disagree, because I think he gets whacked quite a lot. Until, obviously, the second act, he turns a bit... I guess he goes a bit god-tier in the second act.
Yeah, you've got... What I wanted to touch upon when you were discussing the first part of the review, what you said about it kind of draws from a Jackie Chan-esque, he's getting beaten. It's not the John Wick. He looks like John Wick in those films... He only ever takes punches because Keanu Reeves is pulling off a performance that shows that that character is getting tired. Like, if he wasn't tired, he'd fucking kill everyone. Hmm. And then in that same-ish vein, but with more of like a Jackie Chan flair, Odenkirk's character, like, you can tell he's rusty, and that's why he's taking all those blows. But that's what, like, I loved that bus scene, and I think it's probably the strongest scene in the film itself. And after that point, he's back in the swing of things, and he does turn into that unkillable, generic action movie character. So I can understand what they're coming from.
Yeah, I can see it, but yeah. I think the very casting of Bob Odenkirk is exactly... The film tells you what it's going to do. Do you know what I mean? It's it's so anti what you would expect. Therefore, you buy it, like, already just by casting him, your suspension of disbelief is like, you're going to go with this or not?
Exactly.
And for me, the fact that it was Odenkirk doing an action movie, I was like, 100%, it's either going to be a laugh riot comedy or it's going to be exactly what it is, which is super pulpy. I like the fact that he takes like a beating, but I don't think I went into this movie expecting him to die at the end. Like, I fully went in like expecting exactly what happened in terms of the arc to happen, and that's just that's a trope of as many movies as you can count on, because generally the hero prevails, whatever.
I was going to say, it's another fault in trailers, because last week with Fast and Furious, we spoke about, one of the reviewers was literally like, I watched the trailer, I knew exactly what was going to happen throughout the film. I rewatched the trailer, as I already said, and it has scenes that are like, at the very end, when he's with the kitten, he's all beaten up, and he's like, oh, I'm nobody. And I'm like, oh, that was like a nice bit in the film, where I was like, oh yeah, he's like getting back into his room. But it's like, it's in the trailer. Yeah. It's just in the trailer. It's there. Where's the... But please continue with your point.
The only thing I was going to say is where I think the film kind of is smarter about that as an idea of this kind of like immortal being. It doesn't go down the road of like his elderly father becomes a victim, and so it gives him further input. It goes, Christopher Lloyd a badass in his own right, but you would never cast him as an action hero. So let's just bring him in and give him a shotgun and have... How old is Christopher Lloyd now? 80, he's got to be pushing 90.
Yeah, no,
And just seeing that on screen, plus, and again, spoiler alert, RZA popping up, like, just him coming on screen, I heard the voice and I was like, I know that, it's got to be one of the Wu-Tang, and I couldn't figure out if it was Meth or RZA, but I was like, and when he popped up, I was like, this is perfect, like, this is so much fun.
No, it's
so
perfect.
The tongue is so firmly in the cheek.
Yeah, it's true. I think you've nailed it, Sean, when it comes to that with the Christopher Lloyd stuff, because I was literally about to say that. Of, I think it plays on the trope of, oh, you're expecting the old man to die, his dad to die, because that's going to give him more of an incentive to take down these Russians or whatever. And that actually really shocked me when, oh, he grabbed the gun, pulls his shotgun underneath his cloth and blows a guy flying. That was fantastic. And like you said, like Christopher Lloyd is known for playing... he's the happy guy.
Yeah.
You know, we've never seen him in like a kind of a gritty, well, that I can think of.
Dennis the Menace is probably about as gritty as his guy.
It's true, like a gritty, angry role. But this was fantastic to see him. And what I love about it is they don't take away from the Christopher Lloyd sort of twinkle. Do you know what I mean? In the eye of like, it's even more fun that we're now seeing Christopher Lloyd fucking shotgunning people, and it's brilliant. And I also liked as well that Riz is there, he's got a bit of a gut. They're all just retired dudes that have still got it. I thought that was brilliant. I absolutely loved that.
It's almost an anti-action film.
Yes, yeah.
Like,
it's also delivering in the action.
In that, whilst delivering it like tenfold, like the final sequence, which is essentially Home Alone, is fantastic. Yeah. And I was watching it and thinking, why didn't this same idea work in Skyfall?
Skyfall, yeah.
And it's like, because like, for me, one of the worst sequences in a Bond film that I've ever seen. And it's because it knows, it's got a self-awareness to it that it can have fun.
Yeah. Mm. No, I 100% agree. I thought it was interesting, I was reading that apparently RZA was only on set for 4 days.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. So the fact that he pulled off those action scenes, but the thing is with RZA is like he knows so much about action movies, like particularly kung fu movies, as we know for the Wu-Tang Clan. He is an expert. I mean, it's the reason why people like someone like Tarantino hired him to do the music for Kill Bill, because he has just a common, and the sound effects, because he's just a common knowledge of kung fu movies, as Mr. Quentin Tarantino does, which is saying a lot with that guy. And I think it was interesting. I just love that they brought him in to play to fit that role, because all I kept thinking about was how much fun I bet RZA was having that those 4 days. And also, he looked like a bloody badass. The stuff he did was fantastic. Some of the best little bits of action in the movie. He was only in it for like a very short period of time.
But I think you've hit a really good point about what this film is. You can tell they had fun making it. Like that bleeds onto the screen for me.
Definitely.
And that's why, like, I can appreciate people's like, it does hit loads of tropes. You know, and I could see some people walking out of that being like, I didn't enjoy that because of that. But the thing that I personally found unescapable was just how much fun bled onto the screen of them making it.
Yeah, it doesn't try to be, like you said, Sean, at the start. It doesn't try to be something it's not.
Yeah.
And through that, it allows you to just have fun with it. It's not trying to be, it's not necessarily trying to be John Wick, even though, you know, it's got a lot of similar beats to it. It's just out there to just give you a good time. And that's exactly what I had, so.
Yeah, fair enough. However, Dominic, with a half-star review, disagrees, obviously, because it's a half-star review. Read something a while ago about how a big part of right-wing culture, especially among gun owners, is the desire to be able to kill people in response to slights. Like, I wish somebody would give me a reason. And then adding to the list of acceptable reasons until everything is fair game. Until if someone upsets you in the slightest, it is a valid justification to murder them. This is that. Just constant, direct affirmation that you're not a man unless you take every justifiable opportunity to hurt people. Marketed directly towards your white dad. Not into it.
Honestly, totally fair opinion. I agree with it. 100%, they're not wrong. But I think there becomes that distinction where it's like, why do you not like it in this film, but you can put up with it in the 100,000 others that have come before it? I'm not saying we can't look at the cycle and say, is there another story to be told? But, you know, story is driven by conflict. And one of the ways in which you get an audience on side with a character is that you build up a relationship with someone that they trust, and then you take it away from them, so you sympathize with them and you understand their vengeance. That is a recognizable story construct for the ages. And it doesn't have to be action. That happens. That's the very premise of a rom-com. They get together. Mm. We fall in love with them. Then they fall apart, and by the end, we hope they get back together again. Mm. That's the same logic as a vengeance storyline. Why you can accept it in one movie over than another, I think we'd have to dive deeper into that person's review necessarily.
Mm. I feel like the fact that it is kind of that, it does paint a picture of emasculation, beta male, as bad. And that alpha violence good, to the point where, like, the cause, as we've already said, is just that he beats up some mafia guys that he had no real reason to do. If he was playing that beta role, he would have gotten off the bus, hopefully brought the other girl and just let them fuck around on the bus with alcohol. And hopefully just get everyone else off. That would be, like, the ideal way to deal with that situation. But, of course, this is an action movie, and so he does take that masculine equals violence approach to, hey, I'm gonna fuck you all up sort of thing. So I can see... Yeah. And it's kind of the directness that it addresses that. Like, in other movies, I don't feel like I've had the film be like, I'm done being a beta, I'm gonna go kill people now.
Yeah, I guess I don't necessarily agree with that, because I think that I felt like it pointed out more of a problem with society for me than the promoting it. Like, with the guy who he works with, and he gives him the gun, doesn't he? He's kind of a bit like awkward with it. He's kind of like, oh, I don't really want this because of the danger that comes with it from him. Well, we know it's because of what he can do when he has this gun in his hand, but. I feel like it frowns upon those people who think they're quote unquote sort of alphas. You know what I mean? The dudes that have got the guns, the next door neighbour who thinks he can take out, but in reality, you know, it's all for show. Do you know what I mean? And I do agree with that. Like I said, I do kind of agree with that, but like that review. But like Sean said, I think you can't really have a problem with this if you're gonna, you know, love watching, you know, Terminator 2 or something. You know, I mean, something, I mean, you know, whatever. But
the issue there is that we don't know anything about Dominic.
This person,
yeah, that's the issue.
Like,
yeah,
this
yeah,
could
yeah.
be like across the board sort he of might,
yeah.
issue.
Yeah, it's true.
One thing I will say that I think this film does do very well is it has that wonderful scene where Bob Odenkirk goes, "I've destroyed the obelisk. Like, you can leave now. You can get out." He goes to the principal. He's like, "You don't have to be the bad guy anymore because you don't even like it. You can do whatever you want." I was like, there's a great version of this movie where that guy walks away and whoever comes next is the someone comes after him. There is that version of the movie, and I genuinely think that's probably what the plot of the next one will be. But just to have that scene, the film recognises that it's trying to say, this isn't the only option. Like, I think that the awakening of Bob Odenkirk's character is more of a statement of, you have to be true to yourself. If you're trying to be someone that you are not, particularly with the relationship with his family, then you are just going to kill whatever it is that you're trying to protect. Whereas if you're honest and open, which I think ultimately that's my takeaway from his kind of turn, if you want to analyze it that deeply, you can become the person. And that whoever it is that you're trying to protect, they get a say in it as well. And I think that's really important.
Yes, and I also agree that, you know, he's definitely got a choice. He's given a choice. And yeah, he gets away with it, but like, it still looks like a pain in the ass. And he's still got a lot of problems. And I still think it gives you the consequences. I think it shows you that, like, this is still a stressful thing and you definitely shouldn't do this. It's even difficult for this superhero-esque main protagonist that we have going on. You can do it all. Do you know what I mean? I never feel like it shied away from pointing out that what he was doing was wrong. Do you know what I mean? Even though you're having fun with it, it's still showing you, like, he definitely has a choice to walk off this bus now or do these things, but no, he kind of wants to because he's something that's been hidden inside him.
To highlight that and what I felt kind of went against almost what Sean was just saying is the fact that the next scene after giving him the choice is Hutch in his car basically being like, "Come on, please, please, come on, come on, come on, come on, I want to fight, I want to fight." It'd be like agreeing to a peace treaty whilst wearing knuckle dusters. It's that type of energy which kind of supersedes it.
I guarantee you, if we can get Kolstad to watch this, he will put a peace treaty meeting with someone wearing knuckle dusters in
the next one.
Into John, he's not doing the Wicks, is he? Into Nobody 2.
Nobody 2.
Nobody's.
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 No, yeah, definitely. 100%.
Fair enough. Okay, so the next review is a 1 out of 5 from Zachary. It's quite a simple one, really, but I want to venture into that subject matter, so that's why I've chosen it. Generic action movie should have been on Amazon or Netflix, a fake John Wick.
It can't be a fake John Wick if the guy that invented John Wick, like, conceived of it.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I disagree with the Netflix. I think this is actually good enough that it deserves to be released. I think if it had come out on Netflix, it would have done incredibly well regardless, or Amazon, whatever. But I'm really glad it got a cinema release, especially this year. I actually think it's good. Like, it is. There are so many middle-of-the-road action films that get cinema releases that don't deserve them. That should have that deserve a much smaller screen release. This deserved to be on the big screen. As far as I'm aware, it's done quite well. It's been hugely successful, and personally, I think it deserves it because it is John Wick. Like, it, but it knows it. Like, it's not trying to say we're not this. If anything, it's going, "But you like John Wick? The guy that wrote this."
Yeah, and still wasn't enough of a different spin on it for me. And it's not. And what else I quite liked, I feel like we haven't pointed out yet, that I really, really liked, which was after the burglary, he goes to the house, doesn't he, to retrieve the Kit Kat bracelet.
Yeah. Mm.
And then we see that these people, you know, are trying to steal from people's houses because they're trying to look after their child.
Yeah, they're just trying to survive.
And I really like that because I think it's critiquing sort of the, I guess, the health system in America, for one, and also showing, you know, kind of, not in an Austin Powers way, but in a sense that, like, you know, these people have Lives, you know, when like Lost of Powers when he's they kill the people, yeah. And then it got to their families.
The steamroller.
He's
a kid, yeah. Exactly, but like, I like that we showed that we saw that these people that burgled that we hated a minute ago, and then 1 minute we was like, why didn't he whack him? And then we're like, oh, he kind of saw, he knew that there wasn't any bullets in the gun. He knew he wasn't. You know, he was only going to be hurting people for the sake of hurting it. He didn't need to do that. And I really liked that. I thought that was really nice.
I think it's really easy to talk about this film as just an action film. But I think we have to remember it's self-aware. It's an action comedy. And not in the way that Dave Bautista might, like, do Stuber. Yeah, do action comedy. Like, it's a straight-up, really solid action comedy that has just enough of, like, grounding. And with just enough to say that I think it elevates it above what you would expect when you hear the word action comedy.
Yes, definitely. It's like you said, it's pulpy. It's got that John Wick thing of like, it's in reality, but it's also kind of not. Do you know what I mean? Where it's a bit over the top, but we don't mind it. They've got a real balance of tone that really works.
Like, if they had cast Harrison Ford in this, it wouldn't work.
No, that is it. You're right.
It had to be Bob Odenkirk. It really did. And that's another thing to it. You know, Bob Odenkirk can do comedy. He's proven he can do, like, heavy drama. He's just found a wonderful middle ground between the two. It's great. It's an anti-casting movie. Mm. And that's why it works.
Definitely. 100%.
Yeah. What time are we at? Yeah, let's squeeze in one more. So this is from Tony Alexander. It's a half star. A film which in time to come will demonstrate the effect the digital age has had on people's attention span. This film has zero character arc, zero message. It is essentially an empty vessel whose walls comprise of four high-octane action sequences. It's not that it shouldn't exist, it should. With so much action, it's just so very, very dull.
I think if the movie tried to do what this person wanted from it, I think we'd all be complaining about how it was trying to do more than what it is. I think if it tried to push a meaning or a purpose or something, it would kind of defeat the point of the movie, which is we're just going to make a fun, kick-ass fucking 80s action movie almost. You know what I mean? Like, we're the times where we just made action movies and they were just fun and we didn't have any sort of agenda to it. Do you know what I'm saying? And I think if it did try to do that, it would have failed, in my opinion. I think it would have lost its fun and what separates it from John Wick for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
And to add to that, I we live in the world now where every action blockbuster, the final sequence has to be the end of the world being saved. Mm. Like, and you know, and we really did reach peak with that with Thanos. He's literally wiped out half of the population. Yeah. It's like this film, and this is why things like John Wick have become successful. It's because audiences are tired of that to some extent, and we want to see something that's just smaller scale. Because I don't know what the budget for this film was, but I can't imagine it was a great deal. It was probably equal to John Wick, but maybe a little less because Keanu probably commands a slightly bigger budget. But regardless, it the constraint of it all is where you can have fun with it. Mm. And I think, you know, variety is the spice of life. And as much as we've seen every element of this film before in terms of its storyline, I've not seen a film exactly like this, and that's why I think it's really fun. And ultimately, that's my review of this movie. It's fun.
Yep. No.
Like, I would happily show this to my mum and I think she'd understand why it's fun. Like, she'd laugh at the humour. She'd recognise, you know, Christopher Lloyd and say, oh, look, it's Samuel L. Jackson, because that's how bad with knowing who actors are. But she would still. I think she would understand and have fun with it.
Yeah.
God, calling out your mom on the podcast. What's that?
Listen.
That's why I said to your mother.
I watched the whole of The Matrix on VHS in 1999 with that woman, and at the end of it, she went, "Oh, Brad Pitt was really good in that." It's a true story. That's a true story.
That's brilliant.
Love it. Okay. Well, I feel that's a good place to kind of tail off into whether, like, the question of the episode, is Nobody Awful? I feel like this isn't a poll, so we can have a scale of between awesome and awful and different ends. Where does it sit for you guys? Like, how close to perfect awesomeness is it?
I mean, it's to me, it's on the awesome scale, if you will. You know, it's good fun. And like Sean said, I think that's the best word to describe it. It's good fun. I went to see it with my dad, and it was the perfect movie to watch with my dad. We had an absolute blast watching it from start to finish. And like I said, it was fun enough that I went to see it again the next day. I would say it's great. It sets out to do something, and it does it, in my opinion. And I had a great time. It doesn't try to be anything more than that.
I agree. For me, it's an awesome, fun film.
And even
with that violence, it's the kind of movie that if you have a 14-year-old son or daughter, I think everybody could enjoy it.
Yeah, I agree.
Isn't this a 15, so they're not allowed to watch it? Why are you advocating underage viewing?
I mean, I saw Terminator. I actually bought Terminator in Virgin Megastore in Bromley when I was 10 years old. And the guy rang it up for me, didn't even question. That's a hard 18. You know,
jeez.
Put it in a bag, like, and then I walked out with it. Like, no question. My mum, to be clear, my mum was in the store. She was just waiting for me outside.
I got something to add
on
to
how
that.
Times have changed.
My aunt, she once stuck me in a dark, bloody room in the living room at night and was like, oh, here, watch Zack Snyder's remake of The Dawn of the Dead. Stuck in there. I'm about, what, like 11, right? I'd never seen a horror movie before. My parents didn't let me at the time. But she stuck it on and she went upstairs. I was like, where are you going? She went, oh no, it's too scary for me. I can't watch it. And I was like, what do you mean? And then scared the shit out of me. Fantastic. I had a great time. That's why I have that film kind of has a...
Yeah, I mean, place. I think it's one of those things. Yeah. My parents sat down with me before I watched Terminator and Terminator 2. And they just went... Now, there are some scenes in this movie. There's a bit where Arnold cuts his skin and rips it off his arm. It's all make-believe. They have special effects. It's makeup. Yeah. And just enjoy it. Nobody got hurt. Yeah. And it's like, I do believe to some extent. I think there are other movies that I would be more hesitant. We've covered kids on this podcast. Yeah. I don't think I would want to show that to my 12-year-old.
Definitely not.
But that deals with social issues that are real to them.
Yeah.
I'm not going to see a robot cutting and ripping its fake skin off. That's time travel from the past. There's a suspension of disbelief where those things cross over, I think.
Hey, we don't know what the future holds.
Or do we?
Dun, 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 dun. For me, it does sit on the awesome scale. So in the monochromatic, awesome or awful, it is awesome. But it is low on that scale. It's one of those that you switch your brain off and you watch it and you enjoy it. Afterwards, you think about it and go, why did everyone hype it up? I would have enjoyed it more with less hype, sort of thing.
That's not the film's fault.
That's not the film's fault. It's the people's fault. Society as a whole.
So, listen up, you people that voted leave. Those people that voted Harry.
Oh, we're getting political.
Calm down. None of
You're
this.
The same people that have ruined this joke. No. I will not let this stand.
Oh, no. Old man Sean's there at the clouds again.
Okay. No. What are we up to? it's good.
Everybridge
it is good.
Farm remembers.
Okay, right. Now that that's out of the way, we all think it's awesome. Give it a watch.
Yeah.
Okay. You're in a film restaurant. This is the main
film
course. It's beautiful.
Sounds fantastic.
They're serving celluloid.
Serving film. It's all on reels, and you got to eat that up like pasta. It'll be beautiful. This is the main course. You don't get a choice. This is the main course. What are you choosing to go with your meal? It can be something to contrast or complement. Basically, I'm trying to say, what would you double bill this with? But I'm trying to add a unique spin to the experience.
Okay. I think we could cancel the John Wick.
Let's say John Wick.
I feel like that's too close.
For me, I stumbled into this earlier and it took a lot not to say it out loud, but I would totally double bill this with A History of Violence, the David Cronenberg movie.
That's a good
because
choice.
It was the review where you were like, the person, where I think it was when Charlie said, like, if we gave the people what they wanted in this movie, it'd be an entirely different movie. I think that movie is A History of Violence.
Yep, spot on.
For me, if you want to double bill them, I think they sit right next to each other and I love them both. And I think it's really interesting that A History of Violence is the one that is based on a comic book.
Yeah, yeah, that is
whereas
true.
This one feels more like a comic book to that me is so that true. Exists in like a kind of like a Garth Ennis kind of way.
That's a fantastic choice. And there was me, I was sitting there going, I got the best one, man. I got the And then you just splashed it, you beat it. That was way better. That's so much better. That's a great double bill. I was thinking Falling Down.
I was thinking Falling Down. Oh, well, you're on the same wavelength. It's a great choice.
Yeah, I think Falling Down and...
And I think, again, that's a film that actually deals with the social issues of like men, angry men, picking up weapons and dealing with it. I think it's really interesting that my dad, who is the kind of guy that I've only seen two movies at the cinema with my dad, and that was Apollo 13 and Saving Private Ryan. And even during like Apollo 13, he leaned over and was just like, well, that bit's inaccurate, you know, I got that bit wrong. You know, he loves the movie Falling Down, and I was like, there's clearly something to do with masculinity tied into this.
Yes, definitely. Yeah,
100%. In
that case, I just stole the one item that I wanted off this glorious menu of film food. I'm just going to pick something off in the Jackie Chan selection, really. I can't even pick which one. Just anything. Anything Jackie Chan. Put on Mr. Nice Guy. I remember that from my childhood, VHS copy. Oh, the Shanghai Night.
The Shanghai Tuxedo.
Noon. Shanghai Night Noon, yeah.
Yeah. Make it a triple bill. Just <bang. laughs> Shanghai Night, then this, and then Shanghai Noon.
I'd like to see Richard Linklater do a third one of those Shanghai movies and call it Shanghai Before Midnight. And it's just Owen Wilson and Jackie Chan walking
in
around some European country having a conversation.
It would be beautiful. Right, I feel like we've naturally come to an end. Sean, thank you for being here. Plug your things again. Where can people find you?
You can find me at Sean Grimsey Films on Instagram, and that's also the name of my website. If you require any filming, editing, live streaming services, I offer those for money. And sometimes for free, if you're my friend and I like what you're doing. I made one for this band here called Fight Milk. I highly recommend you check out their second record, Contender. 4 stars in Kerrang! Magazine.
So, that's very nice.
I mean, come on. Hype. Yeah. Raise the roof like raise your daughter.
I can't lie. As soon as I saw your jumper, my mind immediately went to Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
That's what
Fight
it's
milk.
From.
Ah, good.
Kaka!
What Charlie. Go. Charlie, go. Go, Charlie.
You can find us on Facebook, Your Favourite Film is Awful, Instagram, Your Favourite Film is Awful, and YouTube, Your Favourite Film is Awful. You can also find us on Twitter, at Fab Film is Awful, and on Patreon, now, Your Favourite Film is Awful.
Give us a dollar bill, yo.
Share, comment, hit like, all that good stuff. You know the drill. Everyone else tells you to do it. So just, you know, do it with us as well. Thank you for joining us. Have a lovely day. Goodbye.
Take care.
Sean, you're not going to audibly say goodbye? I fully thought you froze, you bastards!
Perfect.
Keep that in.
You bastards. Say perfect. Goodbye!
Goodbye!
Ta-ta! Cheerio! Cut. Au revoir! Shoshana!